The Camellia Sinensis retail store has undergone many physical changes since 2001, when it first opened in a space adjacent to the established tea room. But this is the most extensive, says partner Kevin Gascon, one of four master tea merchants who are partners in the venture. The company's brick-and-mortar flagship is completely reimagined and remodeled after COVID-19 lockdowns forced the tea house to close. The new design incorporates many time-proven aspects of tea retail, the most important of which is sampling. Gascon explains that clients appreciate the opportunity to select their tea sensorially, but he says, quote, despite continued popularity and regular lineups of clients eager to visit, the changing times meant that those precious moments of magic we created with such love and care barely paid the bills. It required enormous micromanagement and many staff to offer such a complete experience to so many people. We are done with the impracticalities of the sit-down visit, but we wanted to capture that special tasting moment and offer the possibility to take it further, end quote. Hey, thanks, Kevin, for taking the time to share your retail insights with our listeners.
Well, you're most welcome. I'm happy to be here with you.
Will you describe how tea retail has changed since March 2020?
Well, yes. I mean, things changed quite a bit. During the pandemic, we started off with this very nervous lockdown. At the very, very beginning, we had a bit of hoarding. So we had a little bit of increased sales at that point. We had two operations going at that time. We had our tea shops where we sell tea over the counter that operate on grocery store license. So they stayed open. They stayed open all the way through the pandemic. And then we also had the tea house where we served tea in a more restaurant situation. And that we had to close, obviously, that it just didn't fit with any of the protocols. The tea shops saw this initial increase due to the hoarding and the worrying of people that they wouldn't have what they needed for the future in an unsure situation. And after that, things got a little quiet. Even during that time, people didn't stop drinking tea. If anything, they were at home and really felt like drinking tea. They felt like exploring. And most people were in a sort of state of semi-lockdown where they would go for a walk once a day, where they would pick up necessities. And we became one of those stops on the way. And having stayed open all the way through the pandemic, we had this nice feeling of community, of people coming to visit, because we were one of the only places open and one of the only places that remained constant during the whole thing. The shop income didn't change too much. If anything, there was an increase because people were trying things to drink at home rather than drinking the tea that they have in the office and just putting up with whatever the office has, or popping out to a little cafe next door and drinking at whatever the little cafe has. They were at home, so they had this decision. They were able to buy what they needed. And obviously, a large part of our business also went online. We took all those staff and we took them to the warehouse where they helped out with the increase in web sales. Having diverse channels like this, and also having a website that was set up for large volume, larger volume than we were doing, we were lucky enough.
It sounds like the COVID lockdowns provided an opportunity for you to analyze both the tea house and tea shop retail from a new perspective.
I think a big part of the reason that our new setup is working partly is because we already had a very big base community, and the community was built on this dynamic relationship we had developed through, one, having a tea house where we had educated many people on how to drink tea and also infused them with this idea of tea culture, showing them the teaware and the way to taste rather than drink, We'd also always had an educational element where we'd put thousands and thousands of people from the area and from far away through classes. So the level of tea savvy people in this little city and up in Quebec City is surprisingly high. So all these people have become a large client base who are very loyal to the visit. And the visit has become something that we've established as something pleasant to do. They come in, they talk about the tea. We also have to remember that we have a stock that is continually changing. We have a dynamic catalog that follows the season. So the list on the counter is printed once a week. It's continually changing. So there's a certain amount of that you can get from the internet and have that type of flat purchase. When you look at the picture, you look at the review, you look at the description, and then you make a decision to buy. But there are also elements in this purchase that rely on a sensorial, smelling the tea. Now we're offering tasting the tea, but also this exchange with the enthusiasts who are behind the counter, who can explain and talk about. It's something that you can't really put across on the internet, and something that we have so many people that have got into this tradition of visiting the tea shop, that gives us a good base to start with. And it also keeps that word of mouth trickle out for a constant source of new clients. So the visit to the shop, where something actually happens, where you increase your excitement for the product, where you discover the product in a way that you can't necessarily do that on the internet, makes a big difference. And people are looking for activities to do, and they're looking for human connection, and they're looking for something that gives them a little outing here or there. You know, a 20-minute visit to the shop, looking at the new teaware, talking with the people behind the counter, discovering a new tea that you take home that continues this story, is a great way to, it makes a great big difference. So you have to be thinking about providing these alternative ways, and you have to make it into an event, so that when they're visiting, our store is tucked down a little street on the side street. So it's a destination where people go and they do this activity of going to the tea shop.
Let's talk about key performance indicators in post-COVID retail. Food traffic at downtown brick-and-mortar locations declined steeply. Retail consultants estimate that in Montreal, the number of visitors has fallen by 74% since March 2020. Foot traffic has since increased 46% as of April, but overall, foot traffic is down 55% in cities like Montreal. What is the realistic average number of daily visits to a 1,000-square-foot store, and how has that changed?
We saw this a little bit early in when the recession hit, is that there is a strange group of businesses, namely wine, fancy foods, some fancy food stores, and fancy tea, that fit into this strange little category that are kind of luxury essentials. And during these times of, and for many people, staying at home and buying a few more fancy ingredients and a nice bottle of wine and a nice packet of tea are advantages for some companies. So for us, we sort of fit into this little category of the luxury essentials. Yes, we're an essential for most people, but during the times of hardship, they're happy to have the same or even something a little bit better if they have to stay at home. So I think we, even though foot traffic and so on in general population and in general businesses has been this picture that you described, I think for us, there are strangely some advantages. If you look at the sales figures for alcohol boards of the different provinces around Canada, most of them had very good sales during the pandemic. So I think we're kind of on that little, very small group of vendors that have actually had some advantage during the period.
How much does the average customer spend during a typical visit?
I would say probably anywhere between $40 and $450. It's quite variable. Obviously, there's not every kind that's coming in and spending that. I would say the average is probably somewhere around $40 to $50.
Comparing the same teas, do average store transactions differ from e-commerce?
E-commerce is usually a bit more. I think maybe the same client buying on the internet would buy every 3 or 4 weeks, whereas we're more likely to have somebody that comes in once a week when they're doing a certain routine. You know, well, they're either at work and they like to go every Tuesday lunchtime, or they're up at the market. We have a little shop up at the market. So they're up at the market and they have the shopping list of things they buy every week and the people they visit every week. So we're on that list, those type of clients. So we'll see them at the same time, the same day, every week, rather than once a month if they bought on the internet. Also on the internet, when you're paying the shipping fees, I mean, we have a $60 free shipping, so they'll pay a little more to get into the free shipping zone.
How many daily customer visits does it take to keep the doors open at tea shops like yours?
Well, that is very much rent-dependent. Rent is the big killer. You've probably noticed that there are many cities that don't have tea stores. They just it just fit into the equation. Selling tea is a second city activity.
Right.
So if you look at in Canada, Toronto, if you go to the States and you go to New York or go to London or Paris, there are very few street level tea shops of the style of tea that we sell. They're all selling value edition with extremely expensive packaging, fancy packaging. Or they're selling tea in fancy packaging at a very high premium, almost sort of almost gifty level.
Yeah,
it's very difficult to pay the rent with a tea company like the one we have. And we've looked at a lot of people. I mean, we have so many clients buying on the internet in Toronto. We went down there and had a look at the rents, but our operation wouldn't work in a major city like Toronto where the rents are so high. Certainly not in New York. Very difficult to run a tea company on a New York rent. You'd have to sell so much tea. If we look at large tea chains, what they do is they buy tea at a much lower price with a much lower margin, so that they can make enough money to pay those rents, because I think the reality is that a company like ours can only really survive in a small city like Montreal, where the rents are still very affordable.